Hi, welcome. This week it's Colin Power again, and today we're going to be talking about time, space, and the speed of light. Yes, that's right. So this goes into a little bit about understanding, you know, the construct of time and space, so that we can sort of make a little bit of a better understanding of what's happening, kind of thing. Yeah. So if you've seen our slide on Pi Unifies time and space, what we had was we're just looking at the Earth. And so, you know, the meter and the second are quite important as far as, you know, science goes. It's one of those, you know, the meter, the second being defined. Presently, science defines the speed of light as the amount of time it takes light to traverse a meter. But a meter is obviously a man-made function, isn't it? Yeah, so what is actually going on? We can do that by decoding man-made features into pure geometry. And the way that we do that is we go back in time. We say, oh, how did we manage to get to this idea of a meter? And what we tried to do is we tried to measure the Earth. And if you think about it, what we've done is we've tried to divide it into a quarter. And when we took a point from the North Pole and just said, right, that's the quarter surface of the Earth. We'll divide that and we'll call it 1 million. And each 1 million will be a meter. So it's, you know, you can imagine times four around the Earth should be 40 million. Sorry, 4 million. What did I say, 40 million? Sorry, it'd be 4 million around the Earth. And then basically, we divide that into kilometers and so forth. So then that turns into about 40,000 kilometers, which is where I got confused. But actually, it doesn't look quite that well like that because the Earth spins and it bulges a little bit at the center. So actually, we get a 44. So there's a ratio there, of starters. It's interesting to note that there's a ratio of the Earth, which is like almost like 10 to 11. Yeah. If you go up and down. Yeah. And we explain some of that in the time dilatory sort of function. But today we're just going to talk about the basic scale of how we've come to arrive at this concept of space and time. And so let's draw a circle. Let's cross it. There we are, into a nice quarters. And let's call that quarter section in a million. So we know what a meter is. And then what we have to do really is we have to sort of look into the, how we've decided to meter time itself. And, you know, there are 60 seconds. So we're talking about seconds. Well, there's 60 of those in a minute, and then 60 minutes in an hour. Yeah. And so hours, then there are 24 of those, and that makes a whole circle. So, if we divide the hours, 24 hours into four, we get back to the, we get to the number six, don't we? Yeah. And so, in a way, then we've got a ratio, haven't we? Yeah. Of, 6 to 1 million, or if you think about it, 6-4 ratio. When we look at the whole thing, yeah. We've divided something into four, yeah, and we've divided something into six, and the six, when you map it onto a circle, you know, what we find is it goes like 6 hours, yeah, and you can have 12 hours, can't you, yeah, and you can have then, and it comes around after that, that's the halfway point, yeah, but if we could divide it into, we can also divide the number 24 into three, which is quite nice, so we get 8 hour segments, so 8, 16 hours, and then back round, and so our time circle fits on the hexagonal, doesn't it? It fits on the hexagonal plane, but the space circle is just squared. It's just a square plane. And so that's the relationship, in a way, of time and space. But now let's get back to the numbers a little bit. And so if we imagine we have, you know, this quarter arc, and that's going to be worth about 6 hours worth of time. Let's break it into six. And we know that then, there are 60 seconds and 60 minutes to an hour, so let's 360, isn't it? Yeah. So each one of those smaller segments of six, we can break into 360. Yeah. So we can add all those up by timesing 360 by six, and get the number 215. Yeah. 216, yeah. So 2160 then becomes like, if you imagine what's the degree, if you like, of time is 2160 compared to the degree of space, which is a million. So what we can do is we can take a million, we can take space, S over T, isn't it? Yeah, speed of light equals so many seconds in the meters in a second. Meters divided by second. Yeah. So meters there, 1 million divided by 2160. That's the ratio. And we get a number 462.962962962. So, commonality there is the number 62. Yeah, we're going to find out where that came from in just a second. And we've got a 4 there, and we've got a 9 there. Can you see? There's decimal point 962962, decimal point 462. So what we have there from the perspective of the infinite is the infinity of zeros, minus then the 4, and then a 62, but on the other side, it's like we have 9 instead of 4, and we've got 6062, and this is breaking the infinite, isn't it, yeah? Actually, the ratio is 1 over 0.00216, that's the official ratio. So that creates a bit of a confusion, doesn't it, when we start to now do mathematics with time and space. Because let's say we're going to times that function now by the speed of light. Yeah, let's times up by the speed of light. And what we get is the number 13888888. The speed of light we call 300,000. Just to let you know, just to round it up, make it a little bit easier on the numbers. But yeah, so 300,000, and then so the result 13888888. So what we're really looking at there is this number 8 as being quite important, as it disrupts the base 10 function quite a lot. And I'm just going to show you how disruptive it actually is, because we can square that result. Yeah, we can turn it into a square. And when we do, we get the number 19, then 29, and then it goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, up gap 9 0. Really what you're looking at there in normal world would be a counting of numbers, wouldn't it? 1 2 3 4 5 6 7. Oh, the 8's disappeared. 9 10 11 12 is a function of base 10, but really that's all that's doing is counting all the way down. And that's actually the reciprocal of 1 over 81. And so you can think about that, you know, what's that 8 now doing when we square it? It's suddenly making this square root of 9, yeah? But the function has been offset, yeah? and that's what it's done. It's like created this wave, and it's gone, and it's ordered all the numbers into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, into infinity, actually. But at base 10, hides the fact that it's a sequential number. So what we've got then is like the number 888, yeah? Let's divide that by 29. 0, yeah, 290. Well, let's times it by 290. So we can find out a little bit more about the function. We could divide it. But if we times it, what we find is that we get the result 25, 75, 20. And as we've mentioned previously, this 75 and 25, that really is a sort of function of what we call, if you put those together, it would be 1. Imagine it equals the 1. But we've got a little space left over, which is 2. So that would be called the number 1.2 or 12. Yeah, for those who know about some of the stuff around 12, it's all really good. And that's where we get this concept of the third coming in. Yeah, and it's the third the number 3. Remember, we had 8 times 3 equals 24. Yeah, but here we have 25, and we've actually got a clear split because we've taken 888. And so what it's kind of showing you there is, like, can you imagine, like, you know, 24 is actually built of the numbers 2 and 4, it's 6. And that's kind of on the time plane. And so what happens when we start to calculate numbers based on this time-space ratio in science is that, you know, you get all sorts of crazy numbers come out. And that's why we find science quite confusing in the way that it's sort of decided to, should we say, just qualify itself from its very beginnings. You know, its ratio function has all been based around pi, quarter pi's, and all of that stuff. But if we took the whole circumference of the Earth, we can still divide it into a quarter, and we can call it a quarter. And we can do other things and divide the Earth into 6. And we compare like 0.3 to 0.4. And that's another way that we can compare time and space. And when we do, well, I'll let you have a go, and I'll let you have a go with your quantum calculator. And what I'm just getting at is here, you know, you can see we can start to unravel this mess a little bit. You know, we don't have to have these 8s messing around with our numbers. We can stick those onto another calculator, yeah, which will be a 0-3 calculator, and we'll calculate time at 0-3, and we can calculate space at 0-squared. And so that gives us another sort of perception on how we use fourth dimensional calculations in time and space, and how it can resolve some of that messy stuff that we run into with the trying to qualify the universe with a measurement. Yeah, fourth dimensional measurements algebra doesn't work, so we're not dealing with measurements, we're dealing with how things decay in reality, the decay rates of atoms and all of that stuff. And so that's what the function of time actually is. It's a refresh rate of reality in 4D. Not a linear function. It just refreshes, and we can examine that type of time-space refresh by the fresher mathematical approach, which we believe fourth of mathematics, 4D mathematics, is the perfect solution. Okay, so that's it for this week. I hope that was good. You can have a little rewind, get your calculators out, fans, and do a little bit of computation there, and just, you know, draw some of the circles, divide them up. If I've got anything wrong there, just let me know, because yeah, it's always nice to know. And if you guys agree as well, let me know. If your numbers are working out the same as my numbers, then we know we have a number communication. And if you'd like to communicate more, we have a mailing list down at intoinfinity.com. And just come and you know, join in the conversation. We'd love to have you on board. Thank you very much. That's all for this week. Colin Power from Into Infinity and the fourth dimensional of mathematics and how we deal with time and space. Have a great day. Bye-bye.